You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call game? I called game.
Gilbert, fade away.
Dagger!
Oh, Wizards win it.
Arenas hits the shot at the buzzer.
Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here taking you through another episode, but also first and foremost, let me wish everyone a happy Memorial weekend. I hope you guys are enjoying your time with your family, your friends, whatever you're doing. And of course, important to special nod to all those who served. My father was in the military, and worked at the Pentagon for many years, so definitely got to meet a lot of people who did their part, and many thanks to those who served. Especially, it's one of those things you should think about it all the time, but obviously, it's important to remember, you know, what we're doing this weekend as opposed to just starting summer and all that fun. But do have fun. Here's what I got today. The rest of my conversation with Kyle Wiedeye from truthaboutit.net. I guess this would be technically part four of our conversation. I think this was a really good talk. We went for so long, I told Kyle we would, as you'll hear in the beginning of this segment. This was a really good one. This one here, basically we're just sort of focusing big picture NBA, sort of a little bit about the fact that no matter how much we're talking about what the Wizards are up to, how the Cavs and Warriors seem to have the NBA on lockdown, and what does that mean for any of the conversations that we're all having about what the Wizards need, and really for almost any team in the NBA. And of course, if you did miss it, I know the Wizards are done, but it's been still a busy week. Three parts with Kyle have included look back at the Celtics series, look back at the season as a whole, highlights, keys to the season, and then lastly, look ahead for what's upcoming the Wizards, including, I thought we had a really good, probably our best part of the conversation, I thought, was about the Summer League and the D-League. The Summer League, the importance of it, and the D-League, hey, what's up with the fact that there's no D-League team? So check all that out. Also this week, two other interviews I did, Carol Maloney with NBC4, got into a lot of things, including her recent one-on-one with Markelle Fultz, the likely number one pick in the NBA draft, plus she kind of trashed Meryl Streep a little bit. You have to listen for that. And then Mike Tebow, head coach and GM of the Washington Mystics, caught up with him about the Mystics season, how Elena Delladonna is fitting in nicely, as you might imagine. But also, Mike Tebow, once upon a time, coached the Lakers when Magic Johnson was there. He was an assistant also with the Bulls when Michael Jordan was there. So I wanted his thoughts. We were all talking about LeBron James versus those two guys, where he fits all time. And so I put Mike Tebow, asked him about that, and got his thoughts. So check all that out on the Locked On Wizards podcast. And of course, if you don't want to make sure you don't miss any of the shows or any of the episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Lots more to come up this week. We're going to start player season reviews. I'm going to do some season reviews for the players, for Scott Brooks, and some other surprises as well. Plus the NBA Finals start this week, so we'll talk that as well. All right, let's get into this. The wrapping up my conversation with Mr. Kyle Wiedeye from truthaboutit.net. You can follow him on Twitter at truth_about_it. You want to hit us up at Locked On Wizards, at Ben Standing. All right, here we go. The final conclusion to the saga of my conversation with Kyle Wiedeye.
Truth or truthiness, all the things we've just talked about now for the last hour and change, and with any conversation we'll have going forward about what the Wizards need to do, none of it means anything as long as LeBron is there with Kevin Love and Irving, not to mention Golden State and their four All-Stars.
I would say if you're looking at just the Eastern Conference, I would say truthiness. Now, LeBron looks as good as ever, and so it's sort of unfathomable right now to sort of envision at what point will his skills start declining, and I think when that happens, you know, Irving and Love aren't the players that they're really good players. They're really good compliments to LeBron, but they're not. I just don't think the players that can compensate for whenever LeBron's skills do take a step back, which again seems unfathomable that that would even happen at this point. I mean, when you mention Warriors, yeah, that's kind of a thing because it looks like they're just set up to have strong runs for years coming. But I think the Wizards, they should not be discouraged. We'll see. You know, the summer is important, but I don't think Cleveland, as invincible as they have looked so far this playoff run. Of course, they lost their first game tonight, so I think they're 10-1 in the playoffs. I don't think that is something that unquestionably continues. So there is a chance, there is a window, even starting next year, for the Wizards to get all the way to the NBA Finals.
I think sort of the impetus behind that question is just sort of the growing frustration I have. You know, the second that Kevin Durant signed that contract, it was already crazy enough when you had these big threes that everybody was putting together. I'm not going to sit here and have one of my patented LeBron, you know, bash on LeBron comments. He's obviously a hell of an amazing player. He's next level. He's all that. But, you know, the East is such as it is. You look at the last several teams that his teams have gone up against in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's almost hard, like, you know, he's got the monopoly on the better players, and this year it's even worse. I mean, Boston doesn't even have Isaiah Thomas. Now he's hurt, but, you know, a 5'9 Isaiah Thomas, he doesn't even compare to having Paul George the way Indiana did for a few years there. And even still, he's only one guy. Cleveland has three guys. It basically feels like in the NBA now, if you don't have three All-Stars, you basically can't compete, let alone win a title. I mean, the Clippers somehow keep going against that notion, but the way they go at things, although they had some injuries, I guess, in the playoffs this year. But, I don't know. I mean, I guess my point is, on some level, unless the Wizards figure out a way to get whoever you want to say, Paul George or whatever, for everything, like, I'm not one of those people who thinks it's title or bust. I've said this before many times now. If your goal is to, it's only about the championship, and if that's all that matters, that's the wrong way to look at it. You're going to be miserable, and that's just not how sports really should work. But at the same point, you want to put yourself in the best position to contend. But, you know, I mean, there's just the way the NBA works. Basically, unless LeBron gets hurt or, you know, Golden State has some meltdown, it just seems like the finals, let alone the title, is on lockdown. And by the way, Boston, who right now, even with the Wizards, again, they're going to get the number one pick and maybe can sign a Gordon Hayward. So they're probably going to jump up. Milwaukee, I think it makes a bigger move this year. So, you know, I'm not even factoring in those things. I just think that unless the Wizards can figure out a way to get a third guy, which I'm not even blaming them for it. That's just how the NBA works. But, you know, until they make some rule changes or whatever, that this thing doesn't keep happening where everybody's getting big threes, big fours now, I don't, you know, it just seems pretty hard for a standard team like the Wizards that has two guys. That's just not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you, and until maybe Ted Leonsis will have to figure out how to wade into the luxury tax for a year or so while not becoming, you know, one of the repeater taxes where the cost really escalates. And sort of to something you said earlier, you know, even with getting the number one pick this year, and even if they get Gordon Hayward, I don't think that would make Boston miles ahead of the Wizards. Right. Wizards, you have to, you know, you have to have that pick developed. Hayward's pretty good, but I still think you have a lot of flaws on that Celtics team. I think, you know, they're gonna have to figure out something to do with all their guards, from, you know, Marcus Smart to Bradley to Rozier, and, you know, Horford. He's a good player. He had his issues this year. Obviously, he did some good things against the Wizards in the playoffs, but given his age, I don't think he's sort of a sustainable player. So, you know, Boston still, despite being in a pretty good position in terms of max space and the number one pick, and they'll even get another, I think they still have another sort of nice situation or pick coming to them from Brooklyn. You know, they won't be miles ahead of the Wizards the next 1 to 2 years, because I just think Boston does not have a John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Hey, everyone. A quick time out here for word from our sponsor of today's podcast, SeatGeek. Always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or a concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I just used it the other day to look up some tickets at Meriwether Posts and Jiffy Lube Live over the last few days, trying to work out a few things with my friends for the summer. And obviously, you want to hang out with your folks, enjoy your favorite concerts, and SeatGeek is here to help you do just that. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all that work, and you save time and money. SeatGeek also wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, and that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Now, you've heard me say this before, but I know some of you have taken advantage of this deal. For the rest of you, pay attention, because here's the deal. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. That's right, 20 bucks off. Now, here's how you do it. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOWIZARDS, as in locked on wizards, but LOWIZARDS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOWIZARDS today. All right, back to the podcast.
Yeah, and I'm sort of with you on that. I mean, it goes back to my point of the Wizards bench. I don't really think cost them the series. It cost them in terms of what happened, but because of the injuries and whatnot. But because Boston's starting five just wasn't that great, the Wizards had a much better starting five. So even if they get Gordon Hayward and Markelle Fultz, if both of those guys are playing, then you have to take two other guys out of the rotation. Neither one of them is playing the power forward spot, right? So that would still be an issue for them in theory. And for the Wizards, if Kelly Oubre makes some strides, Satoransky, you know, gives them a viable backup point guard, which is not saying he will, but if he did, then even that in of itself is an upgrade. So you're right. I don't think next year they necessarily are going to fall miles behind Boston, but going forward. And I think it's, like I said, this question for me is almost less about the Wizards specifically than it is just about the NBA's got a problem. I mean, it's already been a league where you typically know who's going to be contending. This year just went to next level, and the fact that the playoffs have been such a disaster to this point, only puts more of a fine point on the fact that it's too automatic right now who's going to be there in the end, and I don't see that changing, you know, in the near future.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I've kept you here forever and a day. I told you I would, so deal with it. Any last things on any of these topics? We talked about the playoffs. We talked about the season. We've talked about what's on deck. Anything I have not discussed? I mean, I don't even think we talk that much about John Wall specifically, but we have another podcast. Anything for you that we need to get the truth about before I let you go?
No, I don't think so. This was good. I haven't had time to really sort of think about or debrief after the season, and you know, with sort of real life work dominating, I haven't had much time to sort of write and really think about the Wizards and what we observed. I mean, I did read, you know, you referenced having Steinberg on the podcast the other day, and I need to go back and listen to it. But I did read his sort of trying to be positive after that game 7 column in the Washington Post. And, you know, I think he made a good attempt at that. It's something that fans have to grip with a lot as your team gets better. How do you properly adjust expectations versus being happy with the product, you know, that is the Wizards, and coming from a franchise that has been so just, you know, so hapless in terms of the basketball scene. And now we're looking at another good run where they've made the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years. They're really set up with the youth of their main players to be relevant for the next, you know, 6 to 8 years, you hope. And so part of it's just getting the grips with a season that ended in a disappointing way. You definitely felt the Wizards had the better starting unit. I'm not going to say they had the better team. I still won't admit to that. But it's trying to find that balance in terms of what you expect and how you expect this team to grow going forward, and you know, still being excited about the potential, because every good team has to go through some pretty bad failures to get to the next level. And I think, you know, coming up short in game seven this year might help the Wizards. We're in a similar situation next year. And so that remains to be seen. I think overall, you know, there's a lot that needs to come into place, because the sort of basketball landscape and how a team works well together is delicate. But, you know, the Wizards are something to be excited about going forward. And I think that's the main point.
I don't know, you know, because you've been busy, I don't know if you had a chance to see it or whatever, but friend of the podcast, Tom Lavero, after the season, wrote a blistering column where he chopped up, like, all of us, meaning the Wizards and the people that cover the team and fans, for sort of buying into the notion that, you know, this is still a team on the rise, and, you know, he's going back to his Grunfeld well, as he's done in the past, clobbering him for many different things. And he said that, you know, all this talk about the Wizards, you know, you can buy what's going on now. He doesn't buy that, because he said, we heard this before when they were in the playoffs in those back-to-back years with this group. And I would disagree with him in the sense that the difference between what's going on now versus then is we were still waiting to see where Wall and Beal would go. I mean, Beal was always hurt, right? I mean, this was only the second year since they've both been in the league where they both played over 70 games. So you're always like, you know, oh, well, you know, what's Beal going to look like? And, you know, whatever. Even though that game two we talked about earlier, where you had the, you know, the case of the Hardens, as I'm going to keep calling it, you know, he was a man in most of the playoffs. I mean, his three-point shot was not always there, but he really showed the rest of his game with his ability to get in the lane and get at the basket. He couldn't have done that before. So with Wall and Beal, I think we see where they're at. They have way more to go, but you can see it now. We can, you know, you have Golden State's backcourt, and then I think you got the Wizards. That's not a hypothetical anymore. I think that's fact. But there's no more cute Wizards anymore. I would say this. I mean, there's no more, oh, well, now let's see what happens. No, now they've shown us too much. You can't be plucky anymore. This is the team. They either have to get going, or if they go backwards now, I think last year people were too harsh on the 41-41 because of the injuries and whatever, and the way they went about it with the whole Durant thing. That doesn't fly anymore. They got to make a move up, or they at least have to stay where they are, which is meaning like a 48-49 win team, and compete at that level. If they don't, then I think it's a disappointment. So to that point, in terms of what Lavero is saying, I can buy in that there's something here, but they can't go backwards.
Yeah, no, I'm with it. It's fine to go back to the Grunfeld well, and that's something that's going to hang over this franchise a little bit, and it'll be interesting, because I know you tweeted out earlier, you know, Tommy Shepard sort of number two in command. It's really, I guess, Grunfeld is 1A, and at this point you can consider Shepard 1B, because Shepard has been with the team for 14 or so years. You know, the Wizards have given the Hawks permission to talk to Shepard about their open GM position. Obviously, Coach Budenholzer has given up some of the power in being coach and team president. So it will, you know, who knows if Shepard will actually get that job. I think you've sort of seen this before. His name has come up for other jobs. But if the Wizards do lose him, that will be interesting to see how they react, because Shepard is such a strong part of this team's culture. And, you know, can Grunfeld or someone who might come in replicate that? You know, at some point, you know, and I'm sort of facing this because in my real life job, I was with my previous company firm for over 13 years. And, you know, I'm at a new place now. And part of it, I really enjoyed my previous place. But at some point, you have to see what else is out there, or give yourself a chance to reset and put yourself in a different environment. And I feel the Wizards, although, you know, Ted Leonsis sees Grunfeld in a different light. He only is really evaluating him from when he started owning the team, which is at the beginning of the John Wall era in 2010. But at some point, with Grunfeld being with the franchise for 14 or so years, you have to think of, like, do we need sort of a reset from the basketball operations standpoint. It might not solve all the problems. Obviously, Leonsis is creating his own problems, like we discussed earlier, with not having a D-League team. And I know it's not all about fans being upset with Grunfeld and you know, their discontent with his whole tenure with the team. But it's really, you know, you have to be curious to see what Ted Leonsis is thinking. If he was running a corporation and Grunfeld were, if he were the CEO or something like that, and the fans were treated like shareholders, there would have been a change a long time ago just to get, if anything, a culture reset. And so you have to wonder, at what point do the Wizards really need that more than anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've said many times, if they had made a change at that spot three or four different times over the last however many years he's been there, but, you know, 14 years, I wouldn't have said, wow, what a disaster. But, you know, I've been more on the side of saying I think people are overly harsh at times. And again, they just came off the best season, regular season they've had in 40 years. And the players they did it with were guys who were 26 and 23. And, you know, Moore still has 2 years left on a really good contract. If they keep Otto, even if it's for a lot more money, you know, he's still a young player on the rise. So, yeah, there's some concern about the cap and all that, but the core pieces are there. And look, a lot of teams, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers right now are in this position where they're probably going to make the NBA Finals. And 3 years or 4 years ago, they drafted Anthony Bennett with the first overall pick. They just got lucky that LeBron wants to go back there, right? So, you know, teams make mistakes. You figure out how do you work it out? He's done a good job at that. But, yeah, if they wanted to make a change at some point, I get it. But they haven't.
They sure haven't, Ben.
All right, man. Well, I definitely appreciate it, not just for today, the whole year. And, of course, your whole group. I mean, Adam Rubin and Rashad Mobley have been on a bunch. I don't know how I made it through a whole season without having McGinnis on.
Well, there's the dueling podcast, you and McGinnis.
Oh, that is true. Maybe a couple times when I knew we were going to go out, I was like, hey, man, you want to come out? And he was busy or whatever. Your boy Connor Dirks came out to our watch party the other day, even though he lives up in the world where you do, but he was down here, so that was cool to see him. Troy Halliburton's been a friend of the podcast, so many thanks to your entire group over there at the TAI network.
Thanks, man. Yeah, another season in the books, and it's always good to share everything with a knowledgeable guy such as yourself. And I really think your podcast has taken off pretty nicely this year. I know I'm a fan and really appreciate you have me on here and there. I always think it's good to sort of talk out our feelings about the Wizards, because I definitely have feelings about the Wizards.
I mean, and also, I mean, not to keep dragging this out, but I can get in my own head just in regular life, and the best way for me a lot of times is to talk it out. But if I'm doing a podcast by myself, even though sometimes I view the podcast as sort of therapy, but I have to, you know. You still need the other person there to check you or to throw out a different idea or what have you. But I'll tell you this, the podcasts I'm really looking forward to the most are the ones that were in Vegas. Those are going to be kick ass.
I got you.
All right, man. We'll talk later. Thanks to you guys, of course, for listening all the way through these, I don't know how many podcasts I'm going to put this into, but we'll see. More to come. I still have all the exit interview stuff. I've mentioned before that I need to shop up and put up in a different podcast. We'll do report cards. We'll start talking NBA draft, free agency, and all that. So lots more to go here, even though the Wizards are done. Kyle, man, appreciate it. Go follow him on Twitter at truth_about_it. And until next time, see you.
Deal gets open for three. Dagger!
Home drive, off balance shot.
Dagger!
Not ball.